Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome into a brand new episode of the Face Turn Podcast here on the Sports Insanity Network. It's the first episode of 2022. Hope everyone had a fantastic new year, and we look forward to a new year of wrestling. And of course, I'm joined by Lawrence Patrick Lang and Mike the Punmaster Rifkid. Gentlemen, happy new year. How we doing?
Doing good.
All right. You want to know something, though, guys? Taylor Swift got something right because now everyone feels 22 in 2022.
We do. He strikes again. He's starting off the new year right.
He's starting the new year off with a pun. I like it.
I start with a Taylor Swift pun. I'm disappointed in me because now she's going to write a song about me.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll wait for that, but tonight on the show, we're going to discuss WWE Day One pay-per-view that just recently happened this past weekend as we are recording on the 6th of January of 2022. And we will talk about our bold predictions for the upcoming year of pro wrestling. But we have some news to talk about that broke yesterday. And basically, Mike, you and I kind of summed it up perfectly. The black and gold era of NXT is truly dead. As on Wednesday, there was a yet another round of releases. And this time, they were all from NXT. And the list includes William Regal, Timothy Thatcher, Danny Burch, Scott Armstrong, Brian James, Road Dogg, Jesse James, Hideo Suzuki of Diamond Mind, Allison Danger, Dave Kapoor, Ryan Katz, and Samoa Joe was released as of earlier today. So, oh, and also to mention, kind of lump in with this, I believe this was the day before Day One, and that was Toni Storm asked for her release, and that was granted. So another batch of releases, Mike. What's your reaction to this?
You summed it up perfectly. The black and gold era of NXT is dead, and they don't want it remembered. I think that's the given here, and I'm disappointed in a lot of this because I can understand parts of changing things up. You want to freshen it up. That's fine, but some of these people deserved it. Toni Storm was just fighting for the SmackDown Women's title.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we're going to call her up and then we're going to release her, but that worked. So Samoa Joe for the second time in the span of 9 months, 8 months, was released. I'm sick and tired of us coming on here and we have to talk about releases. I am. Especially when you watch Raw and there's still a 24/7 title segment, match, whatever.
Yeah.
It hurts. Because NXT, we talked about this, no, the other day. We weren't recording. NXT was the linchpin. Because no one, Raw was down, SmackDown was down. You watched NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Because you knew it was going to be good. You knew for those, that hour, 2 hours, it was going to be really good. You would watch the takeovers because they mattered. I don't want to go tangent here, but the wrong guy got blamed in all of this.
I think we can agree who got blamed.
Yeah.
It was Triple H.
Right, because I'll ask you guys this, because when NXT was on Wednesdays competing with Dynamite, the next day, you could have watched NXT without the commercials on the network.
Yeah.
So why would I not watch Dynamite
live,
and then, oh, hey, I can watch NXT on the network tomorrow? Like, to me, that's like elevator not going to the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
but I'm sick and tired of talking about people getting released, especially ones who don't deserve it.
Yeah, it really, really sucks. Patchy, how about you? Your reaction to all these releases? Another match.
It's like the violin song or the orchestra song on the Titanic as the Titanic sink. It's like, it's been an honor serving with you, honor playing with you. It's like, well, here we go again. It's like, come on, we really, it's like beating a dead horse almost. It's like, sell some company already. Just be done with it. Tell them you're coming out, you're selling the company, fire everybody, release them, big deal, re-sign everybody. Like Rifkin mentioned, Tonya Storm gets called up, going to feud with Charlotte. Great way to start her off on the main roster. And then it's like, oh, hey, pie in the face. Oh, we're going to go comedy on this. Terrific. That's what we want with Tonya Storm and Charlotte Flair. We want comedy because comedy is good.
And basically you drive her to the fact that she basically has a match at a live event, immediately just bails on everybody, gets on a plane, flies them, and goes, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. And then it's like, it's kind of almost like the Karrion Kross effect. It's like, oh, hey, let's call Karrion Kross up, give him a stupid mask, and then get rid of Scarlett. And then it's like, oh, hey, Karrion Kross is on the main roster. Yay, we're excited.
And he's going to lose to Jeff Hardy in 2 minutes.
He's going to lose to Jeff Hardy, who is now gone from the company as well. But it was like, why did Jeff Hardy need a win over Karrion Kross? Have Jeff Hardy put Karrion Kross over, and then people might get on board with Karrion Kross. No, it's like, stupid mask, you get to lose. Have fun. Bye.
But in reality, to Patchy's point, who from the black and gold version of NXT came up and has been big, big time?
Honestly, the guy who's doing the best right now is Priest.
Yeah. Riddle. I mean, Priest and Riddle.
Yeah, that's it.
And you got Corbin. Corbin's hanging around. I know we don't like talking about the happy Corbin gimmick.
You're right. Corbin's still around.
Look, but Corbin's keeping himself relevant. Granted, we liked him more as the lone wolf, and he was the badass end of days guy. But granted, you got Happy Corbin, what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, if you look at the rest of the black and gold brand, not really.
They're all gone. Champa's definitely gone after what he posted after his match with Bron Breakker, where Bron Breakker won the NXT title. Gargano's gone, Cole's gone, O'Reilly's gone, Fish is gone, Strong is probably gone at some point. He's the last guy that's kind of the black and gold, but he's such a different character from what he was. You can almost say he's not, you know? Yeah. So, but yeah, no, these releases are getting ridiculous. Like,
I mean, Cameron Grimes, if you want to count him as black and gold.
I really don't, though. He kind of came right.
You got Finn Balor.
Yeah, but he's been ruined again. The Fiend character was, or not the Fiend, the Demon character was killed off at Extreme Rules, as far as I'm concerned. Because that ending was so stupid that it was just like, okay, cool. But this comes to a point of, you're not going to have anybody left. What you're not, the problem is that they're not signing anybody other than this Gable Stevenson guy. So it's like, who are you bringing in to replace these people that you just fired? You're not. So you're just going to keep firing. And that's like, you're going to be left with nobody.
Or what they could do is they're going to rush some of these 2.0 people right away to the main roster. And then they're just going to kill off what is NXT 2.0 and kill off NXT as a whole.
Well, that might be a little spoiler for later, but we'll get into that. Yeah, that could be something. They could just fast track all these people. And I don't know. It just sucks because you have to remember these are people losing their jobs. And, you know, we were talking about it with our friend Nate last night, Mike. It's AEW can't sign every one of them.
No,
they can't. They're going to go after the big fish like the Coles and the Danielsons and the O'Reillys, but they're not going to worry about honestly, are they going to go after a Samoa Joe? I don't think they will.
I think they would. I think there's someone in there who would say, hey, go sign Samoa Joe. Okay. I think there's someone there who would vouch for him.
So he probably gets someone to vouch for him. But like, is this like the?
I think you'll see Joe there, and I think you might see Tony Storm there.
Probably, but like this, the Suzuki guy who was in Diamond Mine with Roderick Strong. Anyone going to care about him in AEW?
No,
probably not.
He'll probably float around the Indies, if not end back either go to TNA or NWA.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what the new Ring of Honor is going to look like. Maybe Ring of Honor goes after some of these people.
I mean, they have enough talent out there to make a company relevant again if they had to. I mean,
during our conversation last night, you had an idea that I didn't hate.
Oh, well, and we'll get into that at the end of the show, which
I didn't know that, so I'm sorry, but. To me, you're right in the sense of AEW can't sign everyone. Some of these people are going to wind up at Impact just because. Some of them might wind up in Ring of Honor. The problem I have is, why are you signing these people, not do anything with them, and then just treat them like they're nothing? That's what bothers me.
At the very least, when they were signing everybody in like 2019, I could understand it because they didn't want them to go to AEW. But now it's you're signing them and then immediately releasing them. It's like, well, so you failed at keeping them away from AEW if that was your goal, but it just doesn't make any sense.
And I'll ask you guys this, because we watch Raw, we'll watch SmackDown. It's almost the same show every week.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown will open up with a Roman segment. There'll be a Corbin match. There'll be a Drew McIntyre segment. When we get to day one, we'll talk McIntyre. And then there's the Usos and Roman for two or three segments backstage. And there's usually a Adam Pearce, Sonya Deville thing. That's SmackDown. Oh, and Pat McAfee rocking out to Boogs and Nakamura.
Nakamura, yep.
Raw, you're going to get a Lashley promo match, a Seth Rollins promo match, Becky Lynch promo. They're the same show week in, week out.
While at the same time, Dynamite is giving you a different show every week.
They opened last night with a world title match,
which was amazing,
which was so good. We talked about it. I don't know if Patchy has watched it.
Patchy, did you watch last night?
No, I was busy last night. Unfortunately, I know Hey, I'm a wrestling fan. No, I missed the title match last night. Bad on me. At me at Twitter. I don't care.
No. I'm just saying, but it's such a change of pace.
Right. And here's the thing, like, they'll open with a title match this past week, and yet next week, like, they'll open with, like, oh, they'll give you, like, a Punk match. So it's like, there you go. There's your big opener this week. It's like, they always give you something different.
And even though they're big, and they're big WWE big, not everyone can fit on a Dynamite. So what do? Oh, you're not on Dynamite? You'll be on Rampage on Friday.
Or you can be on Dark and have a quick little squash match just so people can see you.
Yep.
You know?
You're still going to contribute.
Yeah, and just like kind of going back to what you said, Mike, is the problem is with these cuts that WWE is doing is they're not cutting, in my opinion, and I don't mean to say this, I'm not trying to mean this in any sort of harsh way, but they're not cutting the right people. Like you said, why aren't you cutting all the 24/7 guys? Like, I'm sorry, they're not doing anything. They're not contributing to the show. Why isn't Cedric Alexander going away? Why aren't you cutting Akira Tozawa? Let them go have these better opportunities. Why are you cutting, like, you're not cutting the fat around the whole thing. You're just going straight in the middle and just pulling out, like, the heart.
I mean, to go bigger picture, you're talking a little picture. Cut Jinder. What's Jinder done?
Yeah.
What is Jinder doing? You have hindered Jinder.
Mm-hmm. What's this Veer guy doing? What's this Veer guy going to show up?
When February has 30 days?
Huh?
When February has 30 days?
Apparently, at this point.
No, he's going to show up at the Rumble or something. That'll be his debut, the Rumble, and
probably something like those.
But who cares?
Yeah,
who cares? Who's amped up to see Veer?
He was Jinder Mahal's lackey last year. Yeah, I'm so excited to see him. No. If he did this with, Roderick Strong debuting on the main roster, then I'd be excited. But not this random dude I'd never heard of before until last year. So, yeah, but these cuts are just getting ridiculous. And it's tough because every time we get these, it's like, okay, is this the end? It's like, no, it just keeps happening and happening and happening and happening. And it's like, when do they stop?
They'll never stop.
I guess they won't.
They'll never stop. But here's my thing. We can talk about the cuts all you want, but you have money to pay Brock.
Mm-hmm.
You have money to pay. I know he said this on the Pat McAfee show last week. Goldberg's still under contract for one more match.
Yep.
So you're paying Goldberg something. You have money to keep Kevin Owens around. You'd have money to keep Sami Zayn around.
Yep.
And yet we're going to cut people.
Yep. And yet it's
some bull jive up in there.
It really, really is. All right. Any final thoughts, guys, on the releases?
One thought. Why William Regal? You could have put him on commentary.
Right? That one almost honestly hurts the most.
That one hurt the most. And then
you could have made him a general manager of one of the bigger shows.
Why not?
Or just put him with somebody.
Pearson DeVille.
You could have put him in Imperium with Walter.
Oh.
You could have done that.
Or you could have done him as a Paul Heyman advocate for Pete Dunne.
Oh,
he could have been the advocate to Walter, and Walter didn't have, and Walter couldn't.
The advocate to, the stable with Barrett, Rusev, Cesaro,
League of Nations.
You could have redone League of Nations and have Regal be their advocate.
They sign Miro back from AEW somehow.
No, I wouldn't have. But it didn't have to be him. You could have done McIntyre, Cesaro.
Yeah, you definitely get something like that.
Walter.
Yeah, but
Cena.
We'll bring you more obviously news if we do hear any more releases. But that's our reaction to the current ones now. All right, let's move on to the pay-per-view that occurred this past weekend. This was WWE Day One. Of course, this is their new pay-per-view they did this year, where they did it on the very first of the year.
Well, side note real quick, the pay-per-view name for WWE is now gone.
Oh, that's right. They don't call them that anymore. It's called Live. Yeah, premium Live Events or something like that. So,
PLE.
PLEs. That's what they're calling them.
Premium Live Events are now a thing.
Which I don't get why, but whatever, Vince. Do you? I don't care anymore. All right. Let's get to the show itself. We'll obviously run through and give you guys our star ratings for the matches, and then we'll do the show overall. We start with the pre-show match as Sheamus and Ridge Holland defeated Cesaro and Ricochet in a standard tag team match. Did anyone see this?
What match?
Okay, fair enough. That there you go. That's all you need to know. We'll move on.
All I'm going to say is Ridge Holland left this match with a broken nose, and they still put Sheamus over Cesaro and Ricochet.
Yep. Cesaro needs to leave. Please leave, Cesaro. Stop getting mistreated there.
That man deserves better. And shout out to Corey Giancotti, if he's listening, one of my best buddies. We've been advocating forever for Cesaro to get that push.
You know for
Corey,
a fact...
Corey, if you listen to this, and I know you are, we agree.
You know for a fact if that guy went to AEW, Cesaro, he would immediately be a world champion.
Cesaro and Punk. Oh.
Or the TNT champion. I'm not going to get greedy.
Yeah, seriously.
Give the man another tag title reign or something.
So here's my thing. If Sheamus is coming back, why didn't you just put the bar back together?
You need tag teams.
And they don't set the bar. We are the bar.
They are the bar. All right. Well,
we are the bar.
Well, that showed you just how much we cared about this match. So let's move on to the match that opened the show. And that was for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships as the Usos defeated the New Day, consisting of Kofi Kingston and King Woods, to retain. I mean, what can I say about this match? It's the Usos and the New Day. It's going to be great every time they do it.
You know why the Usos won this match? Do you know why?
Because Roman was out.
Because they've been down since day one.
You got it.
Oh, okay.
Ish.
But, Mike, what did you think of the match?
I mean, it's Usos New Day. You can't go wrong with the Usos and the New Day. You could have had the whole show be this match. And I don't think anyone would have complained.
Right?
But... it was great.
What would you give it, Star?
Four and a half.
Patchy?
Yeah, definitely four. You know, we're talking one of the best two tag teams to duke it out at a pay-per-view in the last 10 years, where every match somehow seems just to be a little bit better than the last one. So it's great. It's a great way to start off the pay-per-view to get the crowd hyped up. Solid four.
Yeah, solid four.
And you know when they each go to the Hall of Fame, like when the New Day goes in, they would want the Usos to induct them and vice versa.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. But, yeah, no, solid four match. These two, they'll never have a bad match. You could put these two in the worst handicap spots possible, and they would still have a great match. So, just that's what it is. It sounds boring, but that's what they are. They're two of the best tag teams to ever do it. When you put them together, they're going to create magic every single time. All right, up next we had Drew McIntyre defeating Madcap Moss with Happy Corbin at ringside in a standard singles match. I give this a two. It was eh. Moss is fine. I love McIntyre, but
didn't give really me do something much. Better for McIntyre.
Yeah, but yeah, I give this a solid two. Mike, how about you?
Yeah, it's a two. Moss did well. Moss was fine. But you didn't need this match. That this just seems like a time filler.
Yeah. Patchy, how about you?
I enjoyed the match. So it's a three for me because I think it was actually just a nice match. You know, we don't need, as a certain wrestling personnel out there says, we don't need all the flips and kicks. we can still have a nice, decent wrestling match. So three.
All right. Moving on for the Raw Tag Team Championships, we had RK-Bro defeating the Street Profits to retain. Patchy, what did you think about this?
You can't actually now really go wrong with Riddle and Orton.
They're the best thing going right now.
They're like oil and water. Like there's Orton is still Orton, and then Riddle is Riddle. You know what? We can say they don't mix well, but they actually mix well. And it's kind of made, I guess, Orton more fun. Like, it's just something different for Orton because we don't see Orton in tag teams that often where he's teaming with someone constantly. Like, I think the last time we saw him with a constant tag team partner was Edge when they were rated RKO. Other than that, you really didn't see Orton with a tag team partner. Brain can't process at this moment. But like Orton and Riddle is just fun. I enjoy it. You know, we're all waiting for the day, you know, oh, it's going to be Orton that turns on Riddle down the road. But I'm like, yeah, maybe it's Riddle. Maybe Riddle will turn on Orton. Then we get that. Regardless, side tangent done. Great match, especially with the Street Profits, because we haven't seen much of the Street Profits. The Street Profits kind of, like we talked about earlier, they just hang around wanting the smoke. So to me, great match, you know, the Riddle, you know, catches, throws, RKO, just another perfect way to do an RKO. Come on.
Yeah.
From out of nowhere. And just great show of respect at the end. So four stars.
Mike, how about you?
The Street Profits need the gold at some point, man. They're fun to watch and, you know, and they bring energy. Like, how New Day was when New Day first debuted, and you saw the energy from that's who the Street Profits are. Orton's great. Riddle's good. I still find him somewhat annoying, bro. But at some point, you're going to have one of them turn. I'm just waiting for it to happen. But it was a solid match. I'll go four.
Yeah, I'll go a four as well. It was really, really good. The chemistry was obviously really good between both teams. And yeah, that finishing spot into the RKO was just a thing of beauty. And yeah, Street Profits really amp it up every time they get in the ring. And RK-Bro's really becoming a really, really dynamic tag team. And they're really starting to click. I hope they keep this going for a little bit because I really enjoy them as a tag team. And God knows they could use some tag teams right now. They need some strong tag teams. So yeah, four stars. It was a great match. All right. Up next, we had the Edge versus the Miz defeat the Miz in a straight one-on-one match. Surprisingly, the longest match of the night at 20 minutes. I give this a three only because the match was good. It dragged for me a little bit at the end. I was like, okay, can we get this going? Like, there were so many times where they would do a move and they would lay for like five seconds, and they would do a move and they would just lay down the mat for a bunch of time, and they would just do that again. And I was like, okay, come on, can we get this going a little bit?
You know why they did that? Might know why they did that?
Why?
Because Beth's hair wasn't ready yet.
Wait, really?
I was making a joke.
Oh, okay.
Joke.
I didn't know.
Joke overhead.
Patchy, look at the company you're talking about. It wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me either, but it's the prince. Come on.
Yeah, that's a pretty hairy situation.
What is that? He's two for two on the air. I like it.
He is. Yeah, that was just my problem. I'll go 3.5, actually. It was a really good match, but like I said, there were times where it did feel like it was just dragging, and I was like, okay, come on, let's get this going. And then we got the thing at the end, which was really fun. But yeah, I give it 3.5. Like I said, I think it dragged a little bit, but that's just me. Mike, how about you?
I'll go 3. I enjoyed the promo segments with Edge and Miz going into this. And also, kudos to Edge coming out to the Brood entrance.
Oh, so good.
It's a good use of the Brood for him. Like, if he needs to channel the inner Brood in him, it's fitting. Yeah, because it's not overused.
Yeah. It's not. Like, this isn't a knock, but that's something that should come out once in a while, like the demon for Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I enjoyed it. The right guy went over. I'll go 3.5.
Patchy?
I agree. With what Rickon said, 3.5. Brood entrance, come on, can't go wrong with that. You know, inner, you know, late 90s kid with Edge and the Brood theme. Great match. You know, we were all waiting for Beth to come out. Why not just have Beth come out in the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
With Edge and the Brood entrance. Like, come on. Granted, we're going to probably get that at the Rumble now, where they'll do the Brood entrance together. Yay. Geek out. But I guess I don't mind Edge winning, but I would rather have Miz won.
Yeah, it's a little
weird. I would rather have the Miz win this, because then you can do a long-term story and build it up for a WrestleMania rematch. Okay. Good. Oh, okay, Miz beats Edge. Okay, they're both in the Rumble. What happens? Somehow, Edge eliminates Miz. Miz comes back in, throw Edge out. Then you can just little start
Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, a little of that. Then build that up, and then bring Maryse and Beth Phoenix into it, and then you do tag team match at Mania. Mm. In some way or form, you do that and build it up. That's what we're missing, W. We're missing long-term story build-up, and we don't get it no more. It's like they just throw a match together in 5 minutes and go, all right, hey, green player is going to face red player at Mania, and then, hey, we're doing no build-up. We're doing the week before. It's like, really?
Nope, there's only one thing that's long-term planned.
Brock Lesnar title reign.
Roman
Brock.
Yeah, that is the only thing. And we'll get into that in just a second. But first, before we get into that match, we had the Raw Women's Championship on the line as Becky Lynch defeated Liv Morgan to retain match of the night. Obviously, I love Becky Lynch. I love how far Liv Morgan's come. She is getting so good in the ring. I think this is a long-term story unfolding, and I really, really hope that they either do Liv wins the Chamber or Liv wins the Rumble, because I want to see this match at Mania. I think this would be a perfect moment to pull the trigger on Liv and give her the title, because she's, like I said, her promo style is getting much better. Her in-ring work is getting fantastic at this point. This match ruled. The chemistry between these two was off the charts. I loved the botch. The ending was a little botched because I guess Becky was supposed to be on the ropes, but she looked like she wasn't. And so it looked like a clean loss for Liv. But if they want to keep telling that story, that's fine. But yeah, I loved this match. I give it 4.5. It was really, really good. Mike?
I'll go 4. But it's I agree with you on Liv. She's improved dramatically. It's a big improvement. I don't like the waiting until Mania. If you're going to do the match, just pull the trigger. Have the confidence to pull the trigger if you're going to do it. To me, waiting till Mania shows a lot can happen between now and then. She could get hurt. You could lose with this company, you could lose confidence in someone in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to pull the trigger, you should have just pulled the trigger. But it was a fine match. It was the match of the night.
Mm-hmm. Patchy, how about you?
Yeah, no, solid match. Hang on 1 second.
Night, Mom. Love you.
Shout out Patchy's mom.
Shout out Mama Patchy.
Yep. Shout out to Mama Patchy. I had to say goodnight to her. Listeners, always say goodnight to your mama because she's your mama. And tell her that you love her.
Patchy, please make that the thing you always say now, like Mike's puns. Please make that the thing you always say now.
So before I do my take on the match, it'll be namaste and then remember, kids, say goodnight to your mama and tell her that you love her.
Yes.
That's how we're going to end the show for now.
Yes, I love it.
All right. Back to Liv and Becky. I'm in agreement. We need to pull the trigger on this because to me, it should have been done a lot. No, it should have been done on the Raw. You should have done like when we had Lita and Trish as the main event. Just pull the trigger there because that crowd was hot. We haven't seen a crowd that hot in a while because
this crowd got pretty into it too.
Yeah, but this crowd did too. It's like, we're going to finally get it. The man's going to get beat. Becky's going to get beat. We're sick and tired of Becky. We want Liv. And then it's like, okay, Becky's still got to win because why not? I love Becky. Don't get me wrong. And we can get into her whole can of worms and how she came back and won the title at SummerSlam. Different story, different day. It has to be done. Liv needs to win the Rumble. Plain and simple. It's going to probably, if you can have Liv win it, have her come in at 1 or 2, have her run the table. Show her that, get the crowd behind her, and then it will make the moment even sweeter at Mania if they're doing Liv and Becky.
Because that's
what we want. We want a new face to be the women's champion. We don't want Becky no more. Granted, Becky being champion is okay. We can deal with it, but we want a new face. Just like when Charlotte wins the title all the time. Yay, Charlotte's champion again. It brings no credibility to her because they're just giving her title reigns like it's free ice cream day.
Some of us enjoy free ice cream day, and it shows.
No comment. I'm not talking about free ice cream. No comment. You're not fat. You're just big boned.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're not fat. You're just big boned. But
FGP. Everyone embrace the FGP.
Absolutely.
Yes. But
For those who don't know, FGP, Fat Guy Pride.
All right. But yes, back to Liv. We need to pull the trigger on this side tangent tonight. Jesus.
Yeah.
Have her win the Rumble. have her win the Rumble and find a way for her to eliminate someone that's more stronger than her. Like, I would say, you know, if Nia Jax was still in the company, have her get rid of Nia Jax, and then it's like that Thou Shall Not Be Named and Big Show elimination. Like how that person overcame getting rid of the Big Show. We're not going to say his name because Thou Shall Not Be Named. It would be like that moment, or have a mini match. You know how we had, like, I don't know why I'm comparing this to Taker and Shawn in the Rumble, but have her find a way to overcome adversity, like Ray did against Orton in the last two in the Rumble. Find a way to get the crowd even more behind her, because, like you guys said, this will make for a great moment at WrestleMania, but also should have pulled the trigger a hell of a lot earlier, because like Rifkin said, a lot can happen between now and Mania.
So going off on what Patchy said, the person who makes the most sense, if it's going to come down to this, would be to compete with Liv at the end of the Rumble, would be Bianca Belair. That would be the one person who makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Unless there's no SmackDown women's title match and Charlotte just puts herself in the Rumble, being like, oh, I can beat Becky because of what happened at Survivor Series and she cheated. Unless that were to happen, it has to be Belair.
Yeah, it definitely would make the most sense. Apache, what'd you give the star rating for this match?
4. Solid 4.
All right. We get to the main event of the night. Now, before the match was started, or before the pay-per-view started, it was announced that Roman Reigns had contracted COVID-19. So he was unfortunately out for the main event, and he was out for the show. Obviously, I think he's going to return tomorrow night, but best wishes to Roman. Hopefully he gets better. Hopefully he is better. But that meant no match with Brock. So what happened? They threw Brock Lesnar into the WWE title match to make it a fatal 5-way. And lo and behold, WWE went, screw it, Lesnar wins, as Brock Lesnar defeated Big E, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and Bobby Lashley to win the WWE Championship. Mike, I see you shaking your head. Before we get into Brock as champion, what did you think about the match?
Oh, the match was great. The match was phenomenal. You had Seth and Kevin Owens do the power bomb, like the shield. Kevin Owens does the dive from the top of the, you know, crowd at that one point. There's the spear through the barricade,
which was awesome.
You know, it was pandemonium. It really was. It was a great match. The end result stinks.
And we'll get to that in a minute. What would you grade the match?
Oh, I loved it. So 4.5.
All right. Patchy, how about you?
So, when we talk about the outcomes and all that, we'll get to that in a moment. But overall, everyone gets their spots in. 4 stars.
Yeah, I would go 4.5 too, honestly. It was a phenomenal match. Just big spot after big spot after big spot. Like, it was just immediate. Like, they would just immediately go at each other. And then it was like, spear. Dive off the ring, power bomb. Oh my god, Big E just put Lashley through the table. Oh my god, there's a spear in the ring. Oh no, big ending. Oh no, F5. Oh no, panic. Like, it was going a million miles an hour. And yeah, it was phenomenal. I give it 4.5 stars. Now, what I don't give 4.5 stars, I don't think what all of us don't give 4.5 stars is the result. Mike, take it away.
Okay, so Brock Lesnar doesn't need the world title. I think everyone could agree on that. Brock Lesnar doesn't need the title, especially with what was planned, which was him versus Roman. So why would you have the Usos just screw Brock Lesnar over or something along those lines? He doesn't need the belt. He doesn't need the win. You want to say the people paid their money to see Brock Lesnar? That's fine. Brock can be in the match. I'll digress that. But he didn't have to win. He doesn't have to win every match. You had in reality, you could have had any one of the other four guys win and no one would complain.
No.
If Big E retains, no one's angry. If Seth Rollins wins, no one's angry. If Kevin Owens wins, people are shocked, but they're not angry. And if Lashley wins, people aren't angry. The problem, we talked about this earlier in the show when we talked about the cuts. Why is everything, I don't want to use the word catered because I don't like the word, but why did we have to change plans for Brock? Like this begs my question. Was Brock going to beat Roman?
I think that was the plan.
So if Brock was going to beat Roman, then I would have just said, screw it. Matches off. Brock Roman Friday night on SmackDown. But like Brock comes out either after this match or somewhat time during the show with Heyman, and they cut the promo saying Roman's not here. I know he tests positive for COVID, but say Roman fears Brock. Something along those lines. And then you have Pierce or DeVille come out and say, you're right, Roman's not here. You'll get your title match Friday night on SmackDown. One, it'd give people a reason to watch SmackDown. Two, you're not just throwing the world title around on Brock, who can now just go on any show he wants. Because Brock's going to be on SmackDown tomorrow night to confront Roman Reigns.
I hate that whole rule, too, how Brock is just a special guy who's just like, I can do whatever the fuck I want. It's like
I get it. He's a Viking lumberjack. But you gotta stop.
Yeah, you really do.
Like, I feel bad for Big E because Big E got the Kofi Kingston treatment. Oh, he just didn't lose in 9 seconds. But I think the stat I read was Big E lost 7 matches during his WWE title run. That's not right. It's not right. After the crap he got at Survivor Series for the Roman match, Big E should have won this match.
Yeah.
I agree.
He wouldn't have been my pick, but Big E... The sad part is Big E won't win the world title again.
Probably won't.
All right, my turn. Do a take. So, I could see giving Brock the title, I guess, in one aspect where, hey, Brock Lesnar's champion... As a face, oh my goodness, this is gonna be good. Hey, don't mind me. I love seeing that. This Brock Lesnar we have is, I think, is the best Brock has looked in a long time. And just, you know, not Heyman cutting Brock's promos, because we're actually seeing Brock cut a promo, and it's not that bad. People don't realize this. Brock can utilize the mic. He just doesn't choose to because he's Brock Lesnar. He doesn't need he can have Heyman be his mouthpiece and Brock can just come in suplex, F5, F5, botch a shooting star press, break his neck, then come back, German suplex, F5, game over.
Go back to the UFC.
But on the flip side, I had an epiphany, I guess, If you want to do Brock and Lashley, you should have had the Usos come out, screw Brock, and then have Lashley pin Brock, and then go have Brock win the Rumble and saying, you didn't beat me fair and square, blah, blah, blah. Typical, you know, wrestling stuff. Oh, you can't beat me fair and square. Have Brock win the Rumble, and then we get Brock and Lashley at Mania. And then that's how you build up that match. Instead of, you know, doing the Fatal 4-Way like they did on Monday, where we're going to get Lashley and Brock at Rumble.
I don't mind
Have it that way. Go ahead now.
I don't mind having Brock Lashley at the Rumble just because I like making the other four big pay-per-views have important matches. Like, I don't think everything needs to be sacrificed for Mania. I like to have, you know, let's have a big worthy match at a Rumble or a SummerSlam or something along those lines. I don't like Brock being champion, though, because what was the point of, like, if you want to put him in the match, but just have the other four, just all beat him up, and then that way you could just have Big E retain or any one of the other four win, and just there you go. Brock winning is just now it complicates things a lot, because now are we doing a title unification match? I really hope we're not. Really hope we're not doing title for title at Mania, Brock and Roman, because no, thank you.
Because everyone loses in that spot.
Yep.
Everyone loses.
Everyone loses.
Because Brock can't be a control both belts, because no one's going to buy in. Roman can't win for the fact of, if Brock can't beat him, who's going to beat him at that point?
And you know people are going to turn on it like hard.
I think people have already started to turn. And it's not against him. It's just you've built him into almost Super Cena-esque of,
yeah,
he beats anyone at any point. And the issue I have is, we know Brock and Lashley's going to be the Rumble match. We don't know who Roman's fighting at the Rumble. If there is a Rumble match for Roman, because I'll be honest, there's no one on SmackDown outside of McIntyre, who got taken out after his match to be written off for a little bit, who's going to take the belt off of Roman Reigns. There's not a believable soul, unless you're going to put Walter on SmackDown.
But Sheamus, can you throw Sheamus in there?
No.
You want, yeah, Sheamus as the world champion?
If it finds a way to get the belt off Roman for a while, then yes, I'm willing to take the sacrifice for Sheamus.
Listen, the only person who should be the world champion on SmackDown, Cesaro, at the current moment is Pat McAfee.
No, it's Cesaro. And if you wanted to build him back up again, I think that could be done. But like, you've done so many stop starts, I wouldn't buy in. But that's the thing. Brock and Roman should be used to build new stars at Mania, not fight each other and just do that crap again.
And my other thing is this. We'll talk about the Rumble at a later date, but here's my thing. I don't know how the match card's going to go. We don't know. Let's say Brock and Lashley's the first match on the card. Lashley wins. Brock has a rampage fit backstage because Roman screwed him or something. Mm-hmm. Brock all of a sudden is the number 30 entrant in the Royal Rumble. Brock's winning the Rumble.
Yeah.
And that's how we get to that. There's so much stuff that you could have done instead to just have that match. Instead, you may be sacrificing the Rumble for it.
Why couldn't you do this? Why couldn't, say, someone beats Roman for the Universal title, someone beats Brock for the WWE title, and then you just say, all right, screw
who's
it.
The baddest ass of them all?
We're doing this one more time. This is the last time we're doing it. We'll find out who's better at Mania. Brock, Roman, one more time. One last time. I think people would swallow that a lot better if they knew, like, okay. You know what I say, Mike? Like, you'd be totally okay with, like, telling the Bucks to win the Super Bowl if Brady would just retire after it. If, yeah, we knew this was the last time we were going to get Roman Brock, I think a lot of people would be more okay with that.
Like, the other part of me that worries me, that I wonder about, I wonder how another card fits into this. I wonder about if they would do Goldberg Roman for the belt, because remember that was supposed to be the match before
Roman
Mania went, and Roman opted out.
Right, that was supposed to be the match. It was supposed to be Roman Goldberg. Yeah, that could be a Rumble match. That could be the Rumble match, honestly.
And that's also something else I would not look forward to.
Yeah, well, neither.
But, well, it could be a total slap in the face, and they can have Goldberg win the Rumble.
Oh no!
By the way, side note, and we will gotta talk about this, because we have talked about doing a live stream for the Rumble.
Yes.
So
stay tuned for that.
Oh, Goldberg wins the Rumble.
The internet might implode for that one. The internet might implode for that, and then
that would totally implode. All right, guys, any final thoughts on Brock Lesnar as champion or day one as a whole?
I will bring back
New Year's Revolution.
Yes, bring back that, and then also credit to Paul Heyman the next day, cutting a great promo, giving credit to all the competitors from Sunday night.
Yeah, that was really good of them.
Because he did say Big E would still be champion if Roman Reigns didn't get COVID. So it's Roman's fault.
Yeah, that's really funny way to kind of like.
It's not Snitsky's fault this time. It is Roman's fault.
It's not Snitsky. Did you hear that, Mike? It's finally not his fault.
Snitsky was telling the truth the whole time.
It wasn't his fault.
All right. Let's Snitsky, move on.
You know what? Snitsky can win the Rumble.
Hey, there we go. Bring back Snitsky. All right. Well, let's get on to the main event of the show. Let's get on to our predictions for the wrestling year of 2022. Now, I told these guys, do whatever company you want. Do any kind of type of prediction you want. Now, I did say, like Wrestle Talk, shout out to them, that they do what they do. Don't go too obvious. Like, don't say MJF's going to probably win the world title. That's probably going to happen. I wanted you to get a little more creative with your predictions here and try to see what we could think of here. So whoever wants to go first, let's go ahead.
Give me your first mention. One. I'll go first. Honorable mention, AEW is going to beat Raw in the ratings.
This was one of mine last year.
AEW will beat Raw in the ratings for, I bet you, 3 or 4 weeks, and then WWE finally wakes up and smells the roses. Next.
All right, so that's your honorable mention.
That's my honorable mention.
Mike, do you have any honorable mentions?
So I wrote that you told us 5 or 6.
We're going to do five or six.
So I wrote down a seventh one just because one of them's come true, and we talked about it earlier. I wrote down that all black and gold stars like Ciampa, Joe, would either be back on the main roster or released, and that's already kind of come true.
Basically happened. We just talked about it at the beginning of the show.
Black and gold is dead.
So, Patrick, do you have 5 left or 6 left?
I got 5 left.
All right, so, Mike, why don't you and I do our number 6s really quick. What's your number 6?
AEW does a battle of legends. Chris Jericho versus Sting.
Oh. Yes.
I'll take that.
I'll take 10 of those.
No, I don't want 10 of those. I don't want Sting and Jericho getting winded in, like, match 4.
But no, I would absolutely be on board for that. My number 6, really quick honorable mention. I think the brand split's ending. You got Brock as a free agent. I think they're going to do a unification match. I think the brand split's over. I think at some point this year, they're just going to be like, screw it. Raw and SmackDown are just two shows of WWE like they did in 2011, 2012. I think it's over. I think they're just going to say, screw it. I don't see the point in having it anymore. So I think the brand split ends in 2022. All righty, Patchy. Let's get into our first of the 5, and let's like actually talk about these, you know, more in depth. What's your number 5?
Well, number 5 kind of happened. Major WWE releases. That was my number 5. I was like, all right. And I saw it. I'm like, well, number 5 is going to be fun when we go on the. I was like, number 5 will be fun when we do face turn finally and talk about it. I'm like, but I think more major ones. I think you'll see big names this time finally. You might see Cesaro. I would say Cesaro, even though he's a lifetimer, maybe John Cena gets released from his contract finally. Just like low-key release, kind of like The Rock. You know how like Rock just signs for like 2 matches?
You might see
Cena get released. You'll probably see a few more Legends contracts get released. If we're talking big names, like maybe big surprise, you might see Big E or Kofi get released.
That's an interesting one.
Can I add a name to that?
Yes.
Nakamura.
I could see that finally happening this year. Nakamura might get released maybe mid spring cuts or summer cuts.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, I think more releases are definitely coming, and I definitely fear when they do come. Alrighty, Mike, your number 5 prediction.
All right, this one was kind of obvious, but it needs to be reiterated. The Undertaker has to be the headliner for the Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah.
He has to be. It's in Texas.
Yeah, it's in Texas.
You're going to have, hopefully you can get fans in for the Hall of Fame. The Undertaker has to be the headliner.
Yep, I think that's pretty obvious. But yeah, no, Undertaker should be the headliner for this Hall of Fame. All right, my number five, AEW will run a pay-per-view overseas. Revolution, Double or Nothing, All Out, Full Gear, one of them's taking place in England. Maybe not a pay-per-view, but I would definitely say one of their special events, like a beach break or a road rager, one of them's happening in London. I would bet money on that. They wanted to do Fyter Fest last year before the pandemic happened in London. I think this year they make it happen.
I see it happening if cases of Omicron go down. And maybe, it might not be till the end of the year, but I will agree with you. I could see that happening. Maybe end of the year, but not at this time.
Right. This is where obviously these are predictions for the whole year. So.
Right. But I'm saying maybe summertime we get lucky and they go overseas, but I would say end of the year you could see them overseas for that. I agree with you.
All right. Patchy, you're number four.
It's another one that might just happen now since we've been talking about it. The Universal and W title unify, we get the Undisputed title back.
I think that's happening. I could definitely see that happening with Brock and Roman.
And if you do that, you bring back the Undisputed belt. You don't give us a cheap WWE belt that just has a big W in it. No, bring back the Undisputed belt. Bring back a little class to the championships in WWE. Bring back that Undisputed belt because that was a nice belt.
That is Undisputed.
Yeah, if you do that, you got to do the Undisputed belt. Mike, you're number four.
We're going to get a push from Finn Balor. I don't know if it means the WWE or... But Finn Balor will win either the IC or the US title by the end of the year.
I would hope so. I would.
Don't believe in it, but I wrote it down because the world needs a Finn Balor push.
Finn Balor needs to do better than what he's doing right now. You are 100% correct. All right, my number four. We've seen the forbidden door has been open between AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling. I think it hits its peak in 2022. Kazuchika Okada will challenge for the AEW World Championship. He won't win it, but I think at some point you will see one of these big events will be headlined by Hangman Adam Page versus Okada for the AEW title.
Man, I want you to just do a set Okada just signs with AEW, because then we could get Okada versus Danielson. Omega again.
The forbidden door has been open, and I think Okada, he said he wants to wrestle Punk and he wants to wrestle Bryan. I think they'll open this door with Okada by having him challenge for the AEW title, and then he goes on to face the other two at some point this year. Look, I think AEW really needs to hit hard this year. What's harder? What's bigger blow than Okada coming over, the ace of New Japan? All right, Apache, number three.
Long shot, but it's doable. Cesaro wins Money in the Bank.
I hope I want that so bad, man.
Give us Cesaro winning Money in the Bank. See how the crowd reacts, and the crowd goes mild. Okay, you have Cesaro cash in, have him have a great match, and he just comes up just a little bit short. But pull the trigger. Just do it. What's the worst that can happen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you tried to push Cesaro. He got Money in the Bank. People were excited. Imagine his music hits when he tries to cash in. The roof will go banana. Probably more bananas when Dolph Ziggler cashed in.
Probably.
And then you know what? Okay, you test it out for a few months. If you think it doesn't work, just take the belt off him. Just give the fans what... Give something the fans really want, because everyone's been...
They won't do it, Patrick, because Otis should have been the champion.
Shut the hell up about
that's
that.
That's a hill I will fight.
No, I will die on that hill with Mike. Otis should have been a world champion.
Otis should have been the world champion.
He had the girl. He had the briefcase. He should have gotten the title.
I am not going down. I will not go down that road.
Right. I've got something, but I have to say it off air.
We are not going down that forbidden road at this time on this podcast. We
can go down Abbey Road.
We can go down that road a different time on a different episode of this podcast. But for now, we can make it an extra match, an extra main event, a two-parter. We can make it a two-night extravaganza like WrestleMania. And make it a two-parter.
I don't know if I'm ready for this argument yet.
Listen, we can go down the path right now if you want, but we're not. Cesaro should win Money in the Bank, and make sure you tell your mothers that you love her.
I agree. Absolutely agree. Mike, number three.
First of all, I thought that was going to end with tell Cesaro's mother that you love her also.
Remember, Cesaro, your mom loves you and you're doing your best.
Thank you for giving birth to the greatest wrestler alive.
The man that could speak five languages and be the top heel, but yet WWE doesn't see it.
Okay. So, no, you know how your favorite moment in life is how my heart broke at the Festival of Friendship? So I'm going to break yours based on something you said.
Because
you said Liv Morgan wins the Rumble, or could win the Rumble. And that'd be the moment. Bayley returns. Bayley wins the Rumble. And Bayley versus Becky is at WrestleMania.
I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with it, I guess.
I'm fine with that. But better yet, make it a triple threat. Boom. Problem solved.
There you go. That's what I would do. Because for some reason, WWE does triple threats the best. Think about it. Edge, Roman, Bryan last year was amazing. Becky, Belair, Sasha was amazing. Like, all their triple threats have been amazing this past year. So, but no, I definitely could see Bayley returning. I think it's right around the time where she would come back. So it makes a lot of sense to bring her back for the Rumble. I definitely could see that. All right, my number three, we're going to get a little sad here, and I kind of mentioned this earlier. I think either, Mike, you mentioned this too. I think either NXT gets moved off TV and puts back on just on the network /Peacock, or it just gets canceled because they don't believe it anymore. They don't understand what it is. They don't like it anymore. And here's the thing. We talked about this last night, Mike. USA could go to WWE and be like, hello, NXT, this isn't what we signed up for. We signed up for Ciampa, Gargano, Joe, Cross, the Undisputed Era. We signed up for all of that, not this. Whatever you're doing now, we don't want this. So get it off. Get it off TV. We don't want it. And so at the very least, I think NXT could go back to a like network exclusive. You can only watch NXT if you have like Peacock or the network. Or at the and if worst case scenario it gets canceled.
What are you gonna do with the roster? I mean, you're not just gonna throw everyone on.
You throw everyone up and just kill NXT basically. I think NXT's dead. It's just dead for me.
Bron Breakker really kicked that X.
He really did.
And he broke the chains.
He did. Alrighty, we're into our top two. Patchy, number two.
The one I think everyone is going to dread, but it's going to happen. Cody wins the AEW world title.
He can't challenge for it.
Oh, that's right, he can't. Well, fuck me. He finds
there'll be some loop. He can find
loophole. You're totally right, though. Wait. There is some loophole.
There'll be a loophole.
Wait. Cody Rhodes can't challenge for the title, but Cody Reynolds can.
No. Stardust can.
No.
Stardust. Oh, my God. Or Cody dresses up as Dustin?
No, it's Stardust. He's going to return to Stardust, and he's going to go back to that.
The first thing he has to do is just do a cartwheel.
Yeah, exactly.
I forgot he couldn't challenge for the world title. I'm like, well, fuck me.
Well, like Mike said, though, there'll be some loophole where they could get around.
They'll win like a number one contenders match somehow.
Yeah, I definitely could see them doing something like that. So your prediction is not that far out. I don't think it's that like unreasonable.
It's going to happen somehow.
There
will be a way where he finds a loophole or something like that. He'll win the world title.
Yeah.
All right. And the internet will shit on it.
Yeah. Mike, you're number two.
Okay. So this has three levels to it. So we all know the drama between the UE and the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Adam Cole will align himself with Fish and O'Reilly. They are going to own all the gold. Cole the world champ, Fish O'Reilly the tag champs. Now I said all the gold. So who's going to take the Roderick Strong spot for UE now? Frankie Kazarian takes that spot. And I said all the gold. Britt Baker joins the UE also.
Oh.
So we have the super UE.
I like it. I like that. I hope that happens now. Really like that.
I'm saying it won't be... I'm saying Kazarian, but I don't think it'll be him. It might be someone younger, but I'm going to use Kazarian as my example.
I like that, though. I really like that. All right. Well, going off of yours a little bit, my number two is I think AEW needs to put a stamp on the women's division, really kind of elevate it. How do you do that? Answer me this, guys. What's the biggest match that they have right now in the women's division?
It would probably be Britt and Thunder Rosa 2.
That match will main event All Out.
All right, I'm behind that. I would do that. I would like that.
I think we're all in.
You put a stamp on the women's division and say, we believe...
Stipulation for the match?
Ladder match.
I don't mind a ladder match for that, but... they beat the whole last woman standing?
You could do either one. I would be fine with either one, but I think you make the women's division seem uber important by having Baker versus Rosa main event your biggest show of the year. Save the match for then, and then pull the trigger and let that main event All Out. You have a story built in. You have a really great match to save up. I think that's a beautiful way to main event All Out and really give the women's division a kick that it needs. Alrighty, we've gotten to the end. Patchy, what is your number one prediction for 2022?
A major AEW star will jump to WWE.
I've been wondering when we're going to see the other way around.
It's going to happen this year. Whether it's, everyone keeps saying, oh, it's going to be MJF. You know what? Throw my number two out of the way. Maybe Cody jumped back somehow.
Oh, Cody! Cody like disowns his own product.
Think about it. We talk about this forbidden door. What if the two are just in cahoots with each other? Think about it. Think about of all the NXT talent that never got called up to the main roster. Their contract right now, they got released. Where did they go? Right to AEW. What's AEW? AEW is holding their own. They're putting on fantastic matches with former NXT talent. Just think about this. If these two would get along, it could be the best wrestling in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Probably in the world. I'm sick and tired of this, AEW marks hate WWE, WWE marks hate AEW. Why don't we just get along and just make one big happy wrestling promotion where we can put everybody over and everyone's happy?
It's
that simple. Like, okay, we can have Roman be Roman. We have Roman's Roman, Brock is Brock. And then AEW can build up their own stars with Hangman and everyone else. You can put Adam Cole, throw Daniel Bryan in there. We could have had Daniel Bryan as world champion. Former WWE guys are just going to AEW. And to me, that sounds a little bit fishy because I think they're in cahoots with each other. Granted, I could be 100% wrong, but think about it. Cody got upset. He left, did his thing in New Japan, and then they formed All Elite. There's got to be something going on there.
Who knows? I think there is a little part of me that could believe that. I just don't know. The way that they talk about it is just weird. I don't know.
Just think about it. Every week, MJF and Punk are mentioning either WrestleMania or Punk being in WWE. You don't see WWE mentioning Ali, which is another thing I wish would change. Kick the forbidden door open, WWE. Mention AEW. It might get the people talking.
Maybe. I definitely could see that one happening. I definitely could see something like that happening, like a big star going to WWE from AEW. Alrighty. Mike, your number one prediction.
AJ Styles returns to the top of the throne and wins the world title.
I hope.
Instead of jobbing to Omos.
I really, really hope that AJ gets another big run. He needs it. He deserves it. He really, really deserves it. He deserves one last big run at the top of the company. Which one would you have him go after?
Have him go after Roman.
If he were to win the Rumble, I wouldn't mind him and Roman. But I also wouldn't mind him and Brock, because that match at Survivor Series a couple of years ago was really good.
Pun intended. I would love that. So, all right, here's my number one. I went kind of bold with this one. So we all know that there's a lot of infighting right now with the McMahon family between Shane, Triple H, Steph, and Vince. Kind of like those are the two camps. Well, I went bold with this. Triple H and Stephanie McMahon will leave WWE, will assume control of Ring of Honor, and will work on a partnership with AEW. Here's why. Your Triple H and your Stephanie McMahon. Triple H is done with this company because NXT just got stolen from him basically while he was off having heart surgery by Vince. He cut all his guys, he cut all his talent, and he changed the entire NXT brand. So if you're Triple H and your Steph, how do you really want to stick it to Vince? Make competition. And here's another thing. There's a certain company called Ring of Honor sitting there that needs financial backing. It needs a creative director. You just go right in. You're a named brand. You walk right in there as Triple H. You immediately have control. And you build that brand back up. And you bring all of your former NXT guys with you. You bring Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, Gargano, Ciampa, Bronson Reed. You basically get your NXT back in Ring of Honor.
I'll throw it out a little bigger to you. They acquire Ring of Honor and TNA, Impact. What do you want to call it? Put the two together. You got two shows right. Put the two together. Go big. Get Impact. Ring of Impact.
If they wanted to go big, they could definitely do that. But I think it's too perfect of an opportunity. You get to stick it to Vince. You get all your talent back. And you finally get the show that you wanted to do. You get control of your company and you save it. And here's the thing. It would be such good press for Triple H and Steph because you're saving Ring of Honor. You're saving that company from going under.
You save Ring of Honor from going under, and then you bring Impact to what it was from like 2009 to 2013 when Impact was good.
Right.
When it was TNA. That run in TNA from like, I think it was like 2008 or 2009 to 2013 or 2014 when AJ, right before AJ left, was great because that was a great alternative along with Lucha Underground when Lucha Underground was there too. It was a great alternative to WWE. It was enjoyable.
You go further back for TNA. And I mean, from like 04, 05.
Mm-hmm. Even that, yeah.
But
I think the opportunity is too perfect. You take the shot and you go get Ring of Honor. And I think it would, because Nate actually mentioned a great point last night. Where did Triple H get all his NXT guys? Ring of Honor.
You got Ring of Honor. You had some from Impact and you had some from Lucha.
Right. But most of them were from Ring of Honor. So you go to the place where it all started and you get Ring of Honor back into the American Wrestling Forum. So that is my number one prediction. That's all of our predictions. Guys, we have anything else we want to discuss on this episode?
No, I'm good for the night.
Yeah, don't watch SmackDown. All it is Brock and Roman confrontation.
Pretty much all it is. But all right, well, that is going to do it for the very first episode of 2022 for the Face Turn Podcast here on the Sports Insanity Network. Find us wherever you get your podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, wherever. Check out the website, www.thesportsinsanitynetwork.com, for articles, these podcasts, all the new content that we have. Thank you guys for listening. For Mike Punmaster Rifkin and Lawrence Patchman Lang, I'm Noah Trombley, and we will see you guys next time.
Namaste.
Remember, say goodnight to your moms, kids.